good to see you this morning. God bless you. Good to be in the Lord's house with you. At this evening, at the end of our Bible study this evening, and we'll have an abbreviated Bible study, starts at 5:30 this evening. Probably about 6, we'll stop our Bible study and have a special call business meeting. And the special call business meeting will be for the purpose of the church deciding what to give Brother Nate for to help him in his moving expense when he moves here. So that'll be a special call business meeting. That'll be right after our Bible study this evening. Also, you're invited to a baby shower this afternoon at 2 o'clock at the Gathering Place in honor of Carson and Trevor Williams. Details and registration information are available in today's bulletin. Sign-up sheets are available at the welcome desk and in the Children's Church room for the Children's Church movie outing on September 29th. Please see the bulletin for details. Children must sign up no later than Wednesday, September the 25th, to allow for Brother Kenny to purchase the proper number of tickets. Baptist Children Home and Family Services in Carmi will hold its annual fall festival. This is coming up Saturday, September 21st from 10 to 2. If you'd like to help with a Waldo booth or would like more information, look up Morton Jordan or Megan McCullough. Join us on Sunday, September 29th at 5:30. In the Family Life Center as we celebrate the ministry and retirement of Brother Trad. It'll be on September 29th at 5:30 that evening. Brother Caleb be opening the youth building from 2 p.m. to 5:30 p.m. each Wednesday night, inviting anyone who wants to come in and pray for the students. If you have questions, then see Brother Caleb, and he'll let you know He'll answer your questions, whatever that they are. All right? Layla, would you come up here, honey? Come up here and stand beside me. You'll make me look better. This young lady, am I pronouncing your name right, Layla? Layla Hoover has given her life to Christ. And she... And she would like to be baptized at the end of the service today. Do we have a motion to that effect? We do, and a second to the motion. All in favor of her being baptized, would you raise your right hand, please? Any opposed, by like sign? And there are none. And they just voted, when they raised their hand, they were agreeing with you about your testimony that you've been saved, and so they approve of you being baptized. Amen. That's a good thing. You sit down, honey. God bless you. Love you.
All right. Good morning, everyone. Let's stand together and worship. We're going to start with Psalm 16. It says this, I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure. For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, or let your Holy One see corruption. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand there are pleasures forevermore. We're going to start off, we're going to sing a lot about the resurrection and the hope that we have, knowing that one day Jesus is coming back for his bride. And we're going to start off with a new song. Called Christ, He is Risen. He is risen indeed. I've done it a couple times while they've done the offering. Now we're going to do it as a congregation for the first time. So it's really, really easy to pick up on. It's a fantastic song, and I hope that it is an encouragement. So let's lift up our voices together this morning.
How can it be the one who died born our sin through sacrifice to conquer every sting of death? Sing, sing hallelujah. For joy awaits. He is risen. Christ is risen. He's risen indeed. Oh, sing hallelujah. Join the chorus. Sing with the redeemed. Christ is risen. He's risen indeed.
Oh, Lord,
Seated. Let's have our ushers come forward. Let's go to the Lord in prayer together. Jason, would you lead us in prayer?
Thank you.
Susie. I've been hearing her sing for a long time. Bad part of that is she's been hearing me preach for a long time. Oh, mercy sakes. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Verse 6. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6. Would you stand together with me for the reading of God's Word? God is just. He will pay back trouble to those who trouble you and give relief to you who are troubled and to us as well. This will happen when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven in blazing fire with his powerful angels. He will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the majesty of his power. On the day he comes to be glorified in his holy people and to be marveled at among all those who have believed, this includes you because you believe our testimony to you. You may be seated. Many people, I would say most people, if you went to them and you asked them, do you believe God is love? They would say, yes, I believe God is love. And he is, certainly so. The cross of Jesus Christ, if nothing else, proves the love of God towards everyone. But if you ask them this question, well, do you believe God is just and righteous? Do you believe that God is just and righteous? They would say, well, I'm not too sure what that means, God is just and righteous. But what if I asked them this question, and this really is the title of my message today, why would Jesus come again? Why would Jesus come again? I'll show you scriptures today throughout the Bible on his coming again. He is coming. Surely as he came the first time, he's coming again. We know that by the word of God and by his first coming. But why is it absolutely necessary that Jesus comes again? Well, it is because of who Jesus is. It is because he's not only love, he's not only mercy, he's not only grace, but he's also just, and he's absolutely righteous. You see, because of who he is, because of his character, and because he is God himself, he must judge sin. He has to judge sin, or he would not be God. But it's not only that reason that he's coming, but it's also because he's coming to reward those and to bring those to him that have obeyed the gospel, that do believe the gospel, that have placed their faith in Christ. And that's a wonderful thing to know. And the third reason he's coming again is he is going to take back that which belongs to him. He will set himself up in Jerusalem as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he will rule and reign over this earth for 1,000 years. And it will not be a democracy, it will be a theocracy, because he will be the sole ruler of this planet for 1,000 years. Now, as we look at the scriptures here, we see two groups of people. And we see two different things, totally the opposite, that are happening. When we read the scripture here, it says that he is coming back, it says in verse 6, God is just, that's why he's coming back. He will pay back trouble to those who trouble you. Now, who is he talking to? He's talking to the church at Thessalonica. And what he's saying is, I have come to make trouble for those who have persecuted you. I'm going to persecute those who have persecuted you. I'm going to judge those who have persecuted you. This is the reason I'm coming back. Remember, God is absolutely just and absolutely righteous. Now, that's very important you understand that. Because, you see, somebody has to be punished for your sins. If somebody is not punished for your sins, God cannot be just and God cannot be righteous. But all through the Scriptures, we see that He is absolutely just, He is absolutely righteous. So then somebody must be punished for your sins. And that will either be you or it will be Christ. Now, I know today, there are certain things I know for sure. My wife says I can't see, hear, or smell. But there are certain things I do know for sure. And one of those things that I know for sure is I'm going to heaven one day. And the other thing I know for sure is I am a sinner. And the other thing I know for sure is I deserve to go to hell. God could have sent me to hell and been absolutely just and absolutely righteous. You have to understand that. But instead, God did something absolutely unbelievable, absolutely outrageous. God sent His only begotten Son into our world, and He who knew no sin became sin for you and I. Became sin for you and I. So when God crushed His own Son on the cross, He was pouring out the wrath that was meant for me on His own Son. So I'm going to heaven today because Jesus took what? Took my punishment. Jesus took my punishment. He took the punishment of my sin on Himself. Now, am I perfect today because of that? No way. We still sin, don't we? But the very fact is that even though I'm still a sinner, I have been declared righteous in God's sight because one day in my life I repented of my sins and I placed my faith in the finished work of Christ on the cross, His death, burial, and resurrection for my salvation. And at that point, something absolutely glorious happened. God in heaven came to live in me. Now that's about the greatest thing that could ever happen to a human being. For God to come live in them. Can you imagine that? The God that spoke this world into creation. The God that said light be and light was. The God that put all the planets and all the stars and all the galaxies in space lives in this country boy from Massac County. That's pretty phenomenal, isn't it? Shake your head like this. Thank you. Makes me think you're along with me anyway. So what do we see? We see in the Scriptures that God must punish sin because He is just and He is absolutely righteous. If He did not, He would not be God. But because He is God, He will. And so we'll have more to say about that in a minute. But I want you to read verse 7. And give relief to those who are troubled. To us as well, this will happen when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven in blazing fire with His powerful angels. You say, well, what do you need relief from? You hadn't got that long. I could stand here all day and tell you what I need relief from. It's my shoulder, it's my back, it's my knees. I'm finding out I got places I didn't know I had. We know people today. I have a very good friend that I've known, I guess, most all of our lives, Jeannie Forthman. And I found out today that she had had, I guess I found out yesterday, Taylor called and said that Jeannie had had a heart attack. Sweet girl, beautiful girl, wonderful girl. Her husband's in heaven. She had a heart attack. We have hospitals filled with people today, suffering, hurting. We have people today in situations they never would have wanted to be in. We live in a broken world. We live in a dying world. Do you realize that? Hey, if you have a hard time understanding that we live in a dying world, look at me. I once was as young as you. My skin was pretty. The hair growed on my head, not on my ears. When I got up, I said, "Amen," to the old me. See? I know I'm telling the truth. You see, when we're born, you look at Caleb and Caitlin's little boy there. He's as slick as a hound's tooth. That's pretty slick, you know. He's as slick as a hound's tooth. Skin is smooth. These precious little babies, when you get them, little Flora, one of my great granddaughters. You know, when we're first born, our bodies produce cells faster than the cells die. That's why you girls look pretty. I'm not saying you won't always look pretty, but I'm saying there's coming a day when your cells will die faster than your body can produce them. Okay? And that's called arthritis, bursitis, gingivitis, gothritis, you name it. It's rhitis, boy, and it'll get you every time. Right, Miss Helen? Oh, it's bad stuff, I'm going to tell you. So God has come to give me relief. Relief from suffering, relief from pain, relief from heartache, relief from grief, relief from anxiety, relief from the temptation, relief from this mixed up, dying, dark world that I live in today, that every time I watch the news, it makes me heart sick. God is coming to get His people home. God is coming to get His people home. I want to share a scripture with you. You've heard it so many times, but it's over here in the 14th chapter of the book of John. And this is what He says. He's talking to His disciples, and they know He's getting ready to go away. But He's talking to them, but His message is not only for them, it's for us today. It's for you today if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Now, in a minute, I'm going to read what punishment is going to come to those who do not obey the gospel. Who do not obey the gospel. Every individual person has a responsibility to obey the gospel. You say, well, why do I have a responsibility to obey the gospel? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Well, God sent His Son to die for you. That's the reason you are responsible for the gospel. That's the reason every person is responsible to believe in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, talking to His disciples, said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house there are many mansions, or rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going to be there to prepare a place for you. I'm going where? I'm going to heaven. I'm going to the right hand of My Father. I'm going to the third heaven, above all the galaxies, above all the planets, above all the stars, and I'm making a place for you." That's pretty good stuff. Making a place for you. There won't be any hospitals. There won't be any jailhouses. There won't be any prisons. There won't be any nurses. There won't be any doctors. There won't be any lawyers, thank God. Maybe a lawyer here. I'm sorry you are. But I'm saying to you today that there won't even be any politicians there. He said, I'm preparing a place for you. Now notice what he says. And if I go, he just said he was, didn't he? And prepare a place for you, I will come back. How do I know Jesus is coming back? He said he was. I will come back. Well, why are you coming back? To take you to be with me. To take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. Woo! That's good news. Amen. That's good news. I'm going where Jesus is. I know for certain, because of what Christ did for me on Calvary and rose from the dead on the third day, that I'm going to be in eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you say that today and know it? Do you know that if you died today, you'd go to heaven? Now, the Catholic Church says nobody can know that. Bible says you can know it. In fact, it says it a bunch of times in 1 John. He tells us how we can know we're saved. I know I'm saved, I've been born again, and I'm going to heaven. I know I'm going to spend eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. You talk about relief. You talk about a blessing. So Jesus is coming again, and he's coming again to take his children home, to take those who have obeyed the gospel to be with him throughout the ages of the ages of the ages of the ages. You say, well, how in the world is he going to do that? Well, he tells us that over here in 1 Thessalonians. If you turn over there in your Bible to 1 Thessalonians in chapter 4, starting in the 13th verse. He says, brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep. You say, why in the world did he say fall asleep? Because he's going to wake them up. He's talking about those that have died, their loved one has passed away, and they're already buried in the graveyard. And he says those who have fallen asleep. And he says that terminology are grieved like rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will, what does it say? God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. In him. You see, something wonderful happened when I got saved. I got Christ in me, and I'm in Christ. You say, how you think you can lose your salvation? Not as long as I'm in Christ. I got Christ in me and I'm in Christ. And you know what the Son said? He said, you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So I am in the Trinity, if you will, by the grace of God through the blood of Jesus Christ. And I know I'm going to live in the heaven throughout the ages of the ages of the ages. And so that's what he says. Well, how's he going to do it? He said, according to the Lord's own word, we tell you, we who are still alive, that's if Jesus came today, which he very well could, because all enough prophecy has been fulfilled. The next thing on the prophetic chronology calendar is the rapture, as far as I'm concerned. Okay? As far as I'm concerned, the next thing to happen, you say, well, what's the rapture? Well, the rapture is when Jesus does what he's talking about here. He's coming back. We've already read that in 2 Thessalonians. He says, I'm coming back so that where I am, John chapter 14, you may be also. Well, over here he says he's coming back. He said that us, we tell you, we who are still alive and are left to the coming of the Lord will certainly not precede those who've fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. I have people come to me all the time, and they say, well, I've been thinking about being cremated. Of course, not while they're alive. I've been thinking about being cremation, about cremation. Is that something I should do, or is that something that I shouldn't do? You know what I tell them? Well, it's up to you. God's got you covered. It's up to you. God's got you covered. You say, well, they put that body in that furnace and they burn it, and y'all, you got a bunch of ashes. Well, what the devil you think happens in the grave? You think you're going to look like that from now on in the grave? Let me tell you something, brother and sister. You're going to rot. You're going to rot. You're going to decay. You know what you're going to come out? There'd be a little pile of dust. Just a little pile of dust. That's you. That's you. So whether I'm a little pile of dust or a little pile of ashes, it really don't matter to me. Because my God in heaven that created all the earth and the universe by a spoken word, by the power of an almighty God that no one can ever comprehend, is going to shout and trumpet call of God and give a command, and them old ashes are going to turn into a glorified body. Amen. That old dump of dust is going to turn into a glorified body. You say, how can he do that? He's God. That's how he can do that. How do you think you got here? You say, well, my mom and dad. Well, how do you think your mom and dad got here? You know, it's all had to start somewhere. It wasn't just a lizard primeval slime crawl out and there you were, you know. It all started with Adam and Eve. God's got you covered. God's got you covered if you know Him. If you know Him. You say, what does it mean to know Him? It means that you know that He's died for you, that He rose from the grave on the third day, set the right hand of the Father, that you're a sinner lost in your sin. You cannot save yourself. You cannot change your life. You cannot make yourself right with God, but God can make you right with Him. When you repent of your sin and put your faith in the finished work of Christ on the cross, one day this old body of bones is going to rise up glorified. I'm going to be so pretty it's going to scare all of you. That's what it says over here. You know that? In 1 Thessalonians it says that we will marvel at what God has done. Marvel at what God has done. I'll look over at you and you look over at me and you say, my gosh, that's a marvel what God has done. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and after that we who are still alive, I'm going to be caught up to meet the Lord in there. You say, well, how about that? Meet the Lord in the air and if you're still alive. Well, He tells us about that over in 1 Corinthians. Make it 2 Corinthians. I don't know about you, but I don't want to go to heaven looking like this. Can you imagine that? I was right the first time. 1 Corinthians 15. Chapter 15, verse 50. Chapter 15, verse 50. And I got to watch my time today. He says, I declare to you, brothers, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. Thank God. Thank God. We will all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Do you know that's less than a second? Your eye will blink and you don't even realize you blinked your eye. That's how fast it's going to be. That this old body is going to be changed, it says. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. It says, For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For verse 53, for the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true, death has been swallowed up in victory. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Do you know what he's coming to give me relief from? Death, sin, temptation, sickness, heartache, you name it. No more. The Christ that died for me has a place for me. You know, the saddest thing in the world is to have no place. For there to be no place for you. Let me ask you something. Listen to me, man. Is there a place for you in heaven today? Is Jesus preparing a place for you? Have you ever repented of your sin and given your life to Christ? If you haven't, you have no place in heaven yet. Jesus Christ came, died on a cross, suffered hell on earth, hung between heaven and hell, so that he could fix you a place in heaven. If you place your faith in him and repent of your sins. You say, well, what if I don't? Well, that takes us back to 2 Thessalonians. What does it say? It says in verse 8, he will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus. They will be punished with everlasting destruction. They will be punished with everlasting destruction. You see, mean I'll just be destroyed and that's it? Oh, no, 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 no. Everlasting destruction means you'll suffer for eternity without any hope of it ever changing. You will suffer for eternity without the hope of it ever changing. You will be punished for your sins. Because God is just and righteous, you will be punished for your sins because you did not accept God's punishment of his own son in your place for your sins. You see, when you come to Christ and you identify with Christ and you say, I believe, Jesus, you died for me on that cross. And I know I'm a sinner. And I know I deserve to be punished. But you said in your word, if I repented of my sin and I placed my faith in the finished work of Christ on the cross, you will not only forgive my sins, you'll cast it as far as the east is from the west and never remember it anymore. And I will never have to be punished. Now therefore, chapter 8 of Romans said, there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Are you in Christ Jesus today? Have you been born again today? Do you know Christ as your personal Savior? You say, well, I don't. Well, if you die that way, or if Christ comes today, let me tell you something. You're going to be punished for your own sin, and it's everlasting destruction, shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the majesty of his power. You'll never see God, you'll never know God, you'll never experience God, but throughout the ages of the ages of the ages, you'll be punished for your sin. God said it, I didn't. So what do you do? What do? You do what you can do. The only thing you can do, you come to Christ. My gosh, if he loved you enough to die for you, and take all the punishment that was meant for you on himself, why in the world wouldn't you come to him? Why in the world wouldn't you want to love him? Why in the world wouldn't you want to follow him? when He died in your place, when He suffered your punishment. If you don't, you'll suffer your punishment. Everlasting destruction, separated from the presence of God throughout the ages of the ages of the ages. That's what it says. So what if you're saved? Well, that's what it talks about next. It says, He comes to be glorified in His holy people. That's us, folks, if you've been saved. And to be marveled at among all those who believe. That word marveled at. You ever been astonished? You ever seen something you looked at and you said, wow, I can hardly believe it. Man, that's beautiful. And that's what I'm going to say when I see Christ. If I'm going up with old Caleb over there, I'm going to get a hold of him. I'll say, man, can you believe this? It's happening. It's happening. God has changed us. Even you look good. Amen, brother. Even I look good. Can you believe it? God's taken us out of all that suffering, out of all that heartache, out of all that disappointment, out of all that anxiety, out of all that worry, out of all that trouble, out of all that temptation, out of all that hurt, out of all that disappointment. God has taken us out of it, and He's made us a new creation in Jesus Christ. Amen. And He's glorified in His believers. One day I'm going to be raised to the glory of Jesus Christ. And it's not going to be of anything good that I've ever done. And it's not going to be because I deserved it. It's going to be because 2,000 years ago, a man named Jesus that lived a perfect life, went to a cross, nailed between heaven and earth, hung there and died and shed His own blood, looked like a butchered piece of meat hung on a tree so that I could go to heaven. What about you? What about you? You say, well, one day may never get here. Yesterday's gone. Tomorrow may not come. What about you? You say, what'd I do, preacher? You come to Christ, that's what you do. Just like me, you come to Christ, the one that can save you, the one that can change your life. You come and you give your life to Christ. One day He'll bring you out of this place into glory, and you'll spend eternity with Him throughout the ages of the ages of the ages. Do you know that you know that if you died today, you'd go to heaven? That's what I'm asking. If you don't, we're going to give an invitation. Aaron, you can come on up. We're going to give an invitation. And during that invitation, if God speaks to your heart and you know you need to be saved, you never have repented of your sin, your life never changed, you never accepted Christ into your heart, you come up here during the invitation. We'll take the Bible. We'll show you how to be saved. If you need to join this church by letter or baptism, God spoke to your heart. You know this is where you need to be. Well, then you come up here and we'll share with you as well. Whatever you need. Maybe you just need to come pray. If you do that, that's fine. You just come pray. If you need somebody to pray with you, me or Caleb or one of the deacons will pray with you, whatever you need. The main thing is you're obedient to God. You heard the word. You're responsible to the gospel. Let's stand together. Father, take over this invitation in the power of the Holy Spirit. Do your work as only you can. May you be glorified in everything that's done. Holy Spirit, bind Satan and every principality of darkness. May God's perfect will be done as we sing during this invitation time. For we ask it in the precious name of Jesus. And through His shed blood we pray. Amen. Amen. God speaks to your heart. You step out now. You come.
Lord of all creation, of water, earth, and sky, heavens
are. You take that first step of faith, you'll take all the rest.
Glory to the Lord on high, God of wonders,
in me,
Lord, our galaxy. You are holy.
Church,
you are holy, holy, Lord of heaven and earth, Lord of heaven and earth. Early in the morning, I will celebrate the call your name.
With Miss Layla. I've known her. I've had the opportunity and blessing to be her youth pastor for quite some time, and she's stuck around, which is, you know, the bigger miracle there. But it's so awesome to be able to honor and to be here with her as she makes her profession of faith in Jesus Christ. It's been so cool to watch her grow up. But Miss Layla, excuse me. Do you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Upon your profession of faith, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, buried with Christ, raised to walk in the newness of life. There you go.
Never get tired of saying that. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Remember tonight at 5:30, we'll have our Bible study, our Bible study groups going on at 5:30 this evening. And we'll have a shortened Bible study in here in the auditorium this evening because we will be having a call business meeting for the church to decide what to give Brother Nathan Martin for his moving expense as he comes here to be our new pastor. Let's stand together, and we'll be dismissed in a word of prayer this evening.
Okay. One thing, you might have mentioned it already if I missed it, but David Atwell, he wanted to... Did you mention that already?
No,
okay.
No.
David Atwell just wanted to thank everyone for their prayers and words of encouragement. Last I heard, he is doing well. He is recovering, and I know he's ready to get back here, but he just wanted to extend his thanks to the congregation for praying for him.
Yeah, he's a good brother, I'll tell you that. He really is. Brother John Stewart.